This show is presented by the Polygamerus Podcast Network, helping you play your best games. Now let's get on with the show, Gameros.
Welcome to MM Plays, our podcast where we design, play, and discuss a game and campaign. Along the way, we will alternate episodes between actual play adventures and the analysis and discussion of games and design theories that relate to the campaign we're playing. For this campaign, we'll be using the mechanics of Cortex Prime, designed by Cam Banks. We randomly selected a theme and ended up with swashbuckling high school urban fantasy. So, join MM Plays as we explore and enjoy a new campaign.
I'm Chris Nizak, and I'll be playing Silas Flamesworth, son of the Flamesworth family with a frozen and fiery intertwined soul.
I'm Old Man Logan. I'm playing Henrik Gunny Gunderson, son of the enigmatic Winter Wind and rookie elemental mage.
My name is Jerry, and I'm playing Santiago Zircon. He is the rebellious and reluctant scion of a powerful magic family.
I'm Phil Vecchione, and I will be your GM. As the door finishes swinging open, outside of the magic circle, there's a chair and a person sitting in the chair holding a phone that turns and looks at you, and it's Casey.
Fuck. Well, I guess I don't have to have Archie figure out where you are.
I blast the phone.
This is only going to be D6 difficulty because Casey doesn't have a fucking clue this is about to happen. So which blast is this?
Fire. Geek. Veil, because, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Flameworth to the rescue here.
So I don't actually blast the phone. What I do is I manifest the fire dagger and throw it at it, because that's actually how it would probably work.
Yeah.
Even cooler.
Okay, and so, to be clear, this effect is just to disable the phone.
Correct.
Okay.
I just want to get the phone out of her hand so she can't use it to call for help.
Yep.
Son of a Flameworth, I will use a D6 mana die on this, too, as part of an attack. Or yep. Control, because I can control fire.
Yes.
So I manifest the dagger, throw it to hit the phone.
Okay. I got eight.
Now, I will turn down my DA for a D4 to get a plot point, because I could always use another plot point.
Yep.
I got it.
Thanks. What was it, an 8?
Yeah.
Well, luckily I had another plot point that I could use to make sure I got to a 10 to hit it with a D10 effect die.
You throw the fire dagger, but really, you've just manifested a attack spell on the phone.
Yeah, man, I manifest the dagger, I fling it using my fire control power, which I have. I have the dagger hit the phone.
Yeah. And the phone blows out of her hand, smashes onto the floor, and skids off, and it's ruined. Like, you ruined the phone. The dagger went right through the phone, and because it's your fire dagger, it just melts the guts of that phone.
And then reappears in my hand.
And you guys are all still, like, bunched up in the doorway.
We step in.
Bo's like, damn, Casey.
I don't care if you want to have a heart-to-heart now. Go ahead. I'll just keep an eye on the hallway.
In the time that it takes her to watch the phone hit the floor and the dagger appear back in his hand, I'm standing next to her with the axe out.
Remember, the axe is all, like, dim right now.
It's still an axe.
She makes it up to her feet, right, as you, like, rush up to her. Jesus Christ, I can't do any, like, how do I get rid of you people?
You want to get rid of us? Start talking.
You ruin fucking everything. I had one legitimate shot at getting in with everybody, and you turn around to fuck it up as a Veil agent, and she is sliding back from you as she's saying it.
You can stop moving now.
T, by the way, is going to walk over to the circle and start examining it.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to duel Casey? There are options here. I'm just going to put that on the table.
Yeah.
Duel is not the only thing that can happen here. I just need to know mechanically where I want to start setting stuff up. Are you going to try to talk her down from this? Like,
I'm having a conversation.
Okay,
a very angry conversation.
She is desperately outnumbered right now. There is just her, and there is a room full of all of you.
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, I have never seen her manifest a weapon.
You have not.
I don't know what it would be if she did, and if it's not out now, then right now, duel is not on the table. She pops a weapon, duel is on.
She backs up from you because you're pretty close, and you're standing there with an axe. Why are you even here?
Because this man is being held against his will.
I don't know. It looks like he's on a hot streak.
He's playing at a table with nobody and no chips, and he's disheveled and thin. He's clearly hungry and dehydrated. Why are you sitting in the room with him? You're supposed to watch him.
Yeah, I am. As punishment. Because you fucked up everything.
Well, your punishment could have been a lot worse. You're welcome.
She looks at you. You know he casted that prosperity ritual a bunch of times, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so now you're okay with that?
He did it as an agent of the Veil.
And you.
I. Miss me?
You. You introduced me to him.
Yes, I did.
On purpose.
Yes.
You are both awful. I hate both of you.
That's awesome. Because we're not real fond of you either.
The people you worked with tried to kill Mesame. Not make money. They killed one person and tried to kill her as well. Just so they could suck their energy and make this magic.
Mesame looks like Earless right now. Mesame's got like Earless eyes staring at Casey. Yeah.
I can feel the anger.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You feel the anger in the form of like your chest is cold. There is a growing coldness in your chest that is just like radiating outward.
I wasn't going to, but I'm going to take a step into the room and put my hands up. Like, everybody, you all need to calm down. Everybody just calm down for 5 seconds. You, and I point at Casey, do you understand what this prosperity cult is doing? They're trying to summon a prosperity elemental and they're sucking the essence out of people to do it. They killed my friend Morris. They tried to kill Mesame. They used a jeweled dagger to suck her essence out.
I get why you're trying to keep the status quo, rich boy. I get it.
And that person right there is being imprisoned. And you're a guard dog.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back in their good graces.
So you don't feel bad about a bunch of people dying for no reason. Normals being killed.
Listen.
Are you racist too?
I understand your high horse. You're coming at this from the fact that you are sitting on a ton of money.
He's not.
No, he's not. And I thought he was down with the cause.
Yeah, and you were wrong. Because I understand why it's wrong.
She's not. I point at Bo.
Bo looks over at Casey, just disapproving sneer, shaking her head like, it's no good. This is no good. Casey's like, look, I don't want to be poor. And if an elemental comes to be, then the Veil doesn't get to make the call on what happens to prosperity magic. It'll have to be dealt with. It'll have to be regulated. It will have reasonable laws. That's all I wanted. A chance for other people to have prosperity. Don't you? She looks at you.
That's not the way to do it. The amount of chaos that would ensue from the birth of an elemental like that is not the way to do it.
Oh, come on. People in the 1900s got over having electricity.
You know what?
The 1990s got over having an internet.
Blah, 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 blah. You don't like being poor? Let's see how you like being incarcerated by the Veil. You're done.
Are you just going to beat me down with that axe right here in front of everybody?
You're going to make me beat you down?
We got to get some dice out now.
Apparently, okay. She can't be moved off of her position, so. We all made a bunch of arguments. There's been no dice roll.
At this point, you can either back her down or have to commit to violence. Yeah. So that is what's at stake here.
In the anime language, we've both stated our positions. Now, either we fight or we one of us quits.
Correct.
Yeah.
Her difficulty is 10.
Okay.
She is picking up your easy money as easy.
Of course.
Because as much as you are saying everything that you're saying, there is a pit in you that knows the lore of that prosperity mat. You saw the look on your mom's face when she scratched off that scratcher.
Yeah.
And let me pick up one extra D8 because she is a follower of the worm. Assemble your pool.
T looks over at Silas. Have you messed a man Gunny got this?
No.
No?
Gunny might have this. What are you doing?
I'm working on getting his dad free.
Sure, do that. Whatever.
I have a plan.
Okay. Why are you asking me?
Just to make sure if you need us to fight her down first, we're there to back you up.
Well, I'm standing right here. Mesame's here. Bo's here.
Yeah.
At this point, Bo is like reaching behind her back where she keeps her dimensional space for her pillow hammer. Her hand is wrapping itself around the handle that's like, you know, all carved with like little stars and moons and stuff. Send this bitch to nap time.
She's obviously under the influence of prosperity magic.
Yes, clearly.
All right. But no, I say that to T.
That's why I'm
as he's whispering at me. I'm like, I don't know. Do what you got to do. I don't know what's going on.
I just want to make sure.
I got my 10 for emo.
Yep. Make sure.
Why are you asking me? Just do it. You're going to give her information.
Got my 8 for mage.
That's like the whispered conversation.
I lit into her about it, how it's the wrong thing to do. This is all Veil. Sure. Same die.
Yeah.
I'm 8 across. No, it's Veil. But it's still Veil.
You're toeing the line.
It's my dad. It's the sins of the father. And I don't have any other dice to add into this.
Don't you have a relationship with her?
Not with her.
Oh.
No. Can I pull Manipul die? I don't.
No, it's a conversation.
It's a conversation, so.
Conversation. Non-magical things are hard. We have. Yeah. We only get 3 dice.
That's fine.
That's pretty much how it works, unless you can use a relationship.
That's fine. Do it. Jesus, Phil.
Oh, Jesus.
16?
It's a 16. See, this is where you get to choose whether you want the conversation to continue or you want the fight, because I see that you're about to spend that plot point to get yourself up to like a 19 or something, 20-something or another.
Yeah. Plot point for a 19.
Yeah. Beats my 16.
I'm going to do it. Plot point for a 19.
Do you want to spend a plot point?
Do I want to spend a plot point for a fight? I don't particularly need to. And Casey's way outgunned at this point. This is not even remotely close to a fair fight.
Like, sure.
It's, what, 5-on-1 at this point?
Yeah, well, last time we had a 3-on-1 fight in a park, we didn't do so hot.
You guys were a bit distracted.
Sure.
You seem a little more focused of purpose at this point.
I don't know. I have this, like, burning rage inside of me.
Yep. She's reading the room. She can see. She can tell.
She looks around. You guys are blocking the doorway out of here. You're surrounding her, basically.
No phone to call for help.
You've ruined fucking everything. They're never going to take me back now.
At this point, your best bet is to roll on them and roll on them hard to get in good with the Veil.
Fuck it. It's all fucking ruined anyway. All I can hope for now is that you guys can't stop the ritual. She sits down in the chair and she's like, I can't help you with that thing. All I was told was to keep a watch on it.
What do you know about the actual ritual?
I don't know. Seems pretty complicated.
No, the prosperity one.
I know what you heard in the back rooms. They didn't tell me anything. After the prom, I made a couple calls. Once I got back into real space, I gave a call to Paula and she brought me here, but they all blamed me because of you.
Sure.
Gabby and Jesse wouldn't talk to me. Paula said that they would contact me later. They just told me to stay down here and watch this guy playing invisible craps.
Okay.
Fuck. It wasn't supposed to be like this.
Sometimes everything goes to shit.
And the worst part is, I really liked you. I thought you were really cool. I liked you too.
If you weren't part of the prosperity cult, we might have gotten along. But unfortunately, you chose the wrong side.
I don't even know why there has to be sides. It's so stupid.
Well, that I agree. But unfortunately, there have to be sides in this instance. Do we have something we can tie her up with?
We'll find something.
Don't freeze her to death, okay, hon?
No.
Please don't.
Did she know the guy who had my soul?
I don't think so. I think she's just poor and wants money, and now she's basically a prosperity addict.
So she didn't take anybody's soul or anything?
No, no. Just money.
All right. Well, then she's not walking out of here.
No. We just don't kill her.
Not my mother.
I don't know.
Are you saying like I'm you? Do you think I'm my mother?
Look, I felt what you were feeling.
Yeah, I was feeling it. She takes a sigh and there's like actual, you can see her breath when she sighs. I'm all right.
Hun, I've been angry, but not like that. Which, I understand it.
I know. I'm still recovering from all of this.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. She puts her arms around you and kind of leans up against you.
What do we got in the way of restraining her?
You guys are just the worst. And she sits down.
Is there anything mundane in this room that we can use?
This room's pretty devoid.
Bo, just knock her out.
Out comes the pillow hammer. Don't worry, Casey. It's not a real hammer. She taps it on the ground a couple times. It just makes like a pillow sound. You just need to take a nap. She doesn't even hit her with it. She just casts from it. Night, night. And Casey falls asleep in the chair.
All right.
Close the door.
Yep. I could have hit her with it.
You should have.
She taps the pillow hammer on the ground and now it sounds solid.
Yeah.
Pillow's optional.
That's my girl.
This looks like it's super complex and has a lot of power in it.
Yeah. Let me tell you about it from the GM perspective, because we are going to introduce something that you are all familiar with from a previous game, but we have yet to use in this game. This is my own custom crisis pool, which means that this has a set of dice But each die is a different size and governs a different portion of this ritual. So I think what I'd like to start with, why don't you guys make a clue roll to kind of understand what's going on in this spell?
All right. Well, let's let T do it because he's been studying the ritual this entire time.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, this should be T. Let me grab a couple of sixes.
I'm not just a big dumb guy. Seven. And I got a one and I got a seven.
It's a circle.
Once again, sometimes a big dumb guy.
So what you do know, and I will give you that. So since you were studying it, you weren't actually actively attacking it. There's no shroud problems. Let's see.
Put a D6, the wrong idea.
Yeah, that's it was going to go for confusion or something like that. Let's go with wrong path.
What do you got, big guy?
Well, I'm going to guess if we just probably just like erase this little circle here, it'll probably take care of it. I could probably use earth magic to destroy the circle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely wrong path, right? Like, yeah. that's not going to help you.
We're going to try that.
Oh, you definitely should try it, yes. Right? Without telling you anything about it yet, let me pull together a D12, a D10, a D8, and a D10.
And I'm going to use my actual control of Earths. I bought that with our last upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So can I use my mana pool for that? Because I'm going to use my sword and use my magic for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I have a 1 and I have a 15. I can spend a plot point to get a 17 and beat this dice roll.
Okay.
So I will spend a plot point to get a 17 with a D10 effect die, but I also have a 1.
Sorry, what did you get?
16. 16. I will tell you that it does have a small effect. You still don't understand the nature of this ritual yet. So your earth attack definitely affects the pillars in some way. Like you crumble the pillars a little, mm-hmm. but they're less physical and more magical. But you do actually crumble them a little.
So does that drop any of the dice down by one?
It does.
Okay.
It does drop one of the dice down by one. I can't tell you what it is yet, but it does. For your 1, mm-hmm. take a D6 stress.
Okay. I will take a D6.
Because when you cast your spell, mm-hmm. because you guys have rippled the shroud badly, you get some magical feedback.
So is it arcane stress still? This comes off arcane stress first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. There's like all sorts of burst sparks and shit
that
fly up. You're okay, right? But you're like, holy... It didn't come from the circle. It literally just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But you're no more in, like, you just brute forced it, right? Yeah. You were just like, I'm going to bash this thing. Let's see what happens.
I literally jam my sword into the floor and ripples go out and the pillars begin to crumble a little bit as I start to like try to
knock
the stone apart.
Turn a little to dust. But when they do, they just reveal more energy.
Now that I see what has happened,
mm-hmm.
now that I see the magic and how it flowed, I'm going to take a second and study what's going on here. It's a clue roll, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to get an extra 6.
This is my geek die. That is my, I will say, is this a mage or Veil? Will you take either? I mean,
I will take either on this one.
I'll do Veil because I'm studying this thing.
Sure.
And then learn it in spite of being talentless.
Boy, someday that's going to have to change since you are not talentless.
Yeah, but the point of the thing is that I am learned because I was talentless. In fact, that's probably what it changes to. Mm-hmm. Learn it because I was talentless.
That makes sense to me.
I studied hard because I didn't have magic.
I have a 7.
I got a 9. I did roll a 1, though.
So let's do your succeeding first before I decide to pick up that 1.
Which you don't have to.
Oh, no. You succeed. Well, I don't have to pick it up. You're correct.
Correct.
There are 4 dice as part of this pool. I will tell you what the dice are by size, and then you may pick 2 of the 4, and I will tell you the components that they represent.
Sure.
There is a D12, a D10, and 2D8.
I'll take the 12 and the 10.
Okay. The 12 is the barrier to hold things inside the circle.
Okay.
So it is a rather strong barrier that prevents anything to exit the circle.
What magic's it made out of?
It's prosperity magic.
Okay.
All of this is prosperity based. The 10 is a compulsion when you are inside the circle.
Sure.
Which you're pretty sure is tied to playing craps.
So this is a shield, guys. And this right here, I point to the magic circle. I pointed some of the symbols and whatnot.
Yeah.
That stuff right there is a compulsion. That's probably what's keeping your dad compelled to keep playing craps.
Okay.
If we attack those two things, at least we know what they are now, so we can probably attack them more effectively.
That barrier is one directional. You can walk into it. It is a D12 on the way out.
You can go inside, but going out is very difficult.
Okay.
That's what your role yields is you now know that the barrier is a D12, the compulsion is a D10.
So I know about the compulsion, I know about the barrier. Does that mean if we walked inside, we could talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
And he would respond to us?
Mm-hmm.
But he's compulsed to play craps.
You might be too.
Correct, but we could resist it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's way better of a mage than we are, so if we let him realize what's going on, he could potentially break himself out. I'm just throwing that out as an idea, folks.
I can break the compulsion.
Then break the compulsion.
Because it's prosperity magic.
Okay.
And you still don't know what the other two components are.
I have no idea what these two things do yet.
Yeah, one of them's the pillars, and the other one is like, there's another set of symbols on here.
It has something to do with earth magic, like T said.
Oh, math.
Yeah.
Probably a little arrogant of me to say it the way I said it, but I've done a bunch of prosperity rituals.
Uh-huh.
I've figured out how they work.
Okay.
And how to make them do what they want to do. I can try and make something that gets his attention more than the craps.
Sure, stop burying the lead and do it. We don't have a million hours to be just standing down here.
Yep.
I'm trying to convince myself.
I believe in you. Get it done.
All right.
So to be clear, you're outside of the circle.
Yep.
For our listeners who have not experienced this before, this type of crisis pool is a problem that is represented by a series of dice. In this case, this is a custom version of this mod. It is one that we came up with, I don't know, 6 months ago, something?
A while ago, yeah.
A while ago. Anyway, each die represents a specific thing. When you attack, you can attack a specific die. And much like any other roll, you're going to be rolling. I'm going to roll the pool. You're going to roll against it. If you win, your effect die goes against the specific die that you're working on. So in this case, you're attacking the compulsion. That's a D10. So if you score a die higher than the D10, you can wipe that die completely out. Assuming you win the roll, right? And if you win the roll, but your die type is a D10 or less, then you would lower it by one step.
Yep.
The nice thing about knowing that those two things are prosperity magic inherent is that Gunny can technically use his easy money as easy in his dice pool to attack it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to be smart about this. So I'm geeking it. D10. This is all about magic. So there's my 8. And we're going with the sins of the father again. There's another 8. And easy money is easy as an 8.
It's only a 9.
Yeah,
only a
9. Only a 9.
Which one are you attacking? That matters.
I'm attacking the compulsion.
So yep. Is it a 12 or a 10?
10.
That's the 10. 10.
Okay.
So if we can get his attention off of the...
Sure, I'm with you.
At 11, then I got a 1.
Okay,
with a D8 effect.
I'm interested in your effect die first. So you have weakened the compulsion to a D8. So this pool is now a D12 and 3D8.
We require the narrative now to go with that.
If you come with me... I've got a blackjack table that's running super hot for the players. I'm trying to bring him off of the craps. Craps is a loser's game. Blackjack is where it's at. We got a hot table. The players are just greasing this guy.
We didn't clarify. Can he hear us?
It doesn't look like he can. You're casting some combination of prosperity and wind, right? So you can carry your voice through the ritual. I'm comfortable with you being able to reach him like that, like you're saying something and conveying it to him.
It's not like he's deafened. He can't leave the circle and he's compelled to play, which is taking all of his attention. The compulsion is forcing him to pay attention to the craps table so that he doesn't want to leave the circle. That's the way I interpreted it. So basically, I'm trying to magic his attention away.
Because it has a slight effect, right? For a moment, like, he stops and he looks down like as if he's counting his chips. Like, he just stops and kind of looks at his chips and he looks around. He actually, like, turns and looks at you all, but just kind of, like, looks through you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, kind of looks and then is, like, shrugs and is like, I'm in. And then he, like, turns back to the table.
I have a question.
Yes.
Since I rolled the clue roll to get the understanding of those two parts of the ritual.
Yeah.
If we walked inside the barrier and cast him inside the barrier, can we just bypass the barrier to disable it?
You don't have the other two pieces. I will tell you that it is probably easier to cast inside this ritual than it is outside this ritual. I will give you that for free.
Okay.
But we don't know if we'd have the ability to cast.
Well, I just watched him interact with it again before we go back to letting T do something. I think I'll try to figure out what the rest of the stuff's doing.
What you see, because you were watching it, he hears Gunny. He like looks away from the table and the table looks more like a prop than it is like any part of the ritual.
Plus I'm watching the magic.
Right. But the magic like swells up for a second and like literally pushes him back to the table.
I lean over to Messman. Like, do you notice anything? Do you see anything? Like, and that's what I'm doing to help get me this next, like, the rest of the ritual. I'm using Mesame. Yeah.
She's studying it, too. She's like, man, this thing, there's a lot of shit going on here.
There is.
Like, even this part, one of the ones you haven't identified, that part even, like, kind of kicked in when he cast one of the D8s.
Cool. So I'm doing the clue thing again.
Oh, hang on. I'm gonna buy off your one. You are getting impatient.
That's fair.
You are impatient D6. This ritual is complicated. It seems really tough. And that's your dad right over there, 10 feet from you. And you're just standing here. That's what that D6 represents, is the growing impatience inside you.
I got a player question.
Yeah.
Is there a timer on this thing too?
No.
Okay. I'm doing the clue thing.
Nope, that's fine.
With, like I said, me and Mesmer are now studying it.
Yep, same thing as before.
I'm taking the D4 for a plot point.
Yep. 6.
I got an 8, but I got 2 ones.
I will give you the other 2 components.
Cool.
And then I'll pick up those ones in a second. The other 2 components is a D8 for illusion. There's like an active illusion going on inside the ritual. And the last one, which is the pillars, is a set of resistance wards that are placed on the outside of this ritual to hinder magic crossing into this ritual.
And it's all prosperity magic, not elemental in any way, shape, or form. This matters for us. That's why I'm asking. There's a lot of things we can do if it's earth, fire, or water.
So
does Gunny have control?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then if it's any of those four, we can do a lot of stuff.
So the illusion and the compulsion are absolutely prosperity magic. Uh-huh. I'm okay with other parts of this. Like, I didn't define every piece of this being another part of magic, but your magics can work on...
The reason I ask is because our control thing, we can spend mana dice to just drop dice.
Yeah.
Because so, we can control elements.
Yeah, so this isn't like an earth barrier or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
I was hoping the pillars were some sort of earth so T could just mess with them.
Yeah, no.
Metal or something.
They were some sort of prop,
mm-hmm.
but they're arcane infused.
Okay.
So this thing is a D12 barrier with a weakened D8 compulsion, with a D8 illusion and a D8 resistance, which, again, is preventing magic from affecting the circle from the outside.
Okay, so if we walked inside and cast, the D12's gone.
No, the D8.
The D8 is gone.
The D8 resistance.
Just 2 D8s and a D12. Then.
Yeah, that resistance was originally a 10. That's what your earth attack messed up. You dropped it to an 8.
Do we realize that there's not a wrong path, that the wrong path is gone now?
Yeah, because he tried it and nothing, it didn't work as well as he thought.
Plus we've learned what all the components are.
Correct. Okay, so I do actually need to purchase...
If you want to. You don't have to.
Oh, but I do.
It's hard to figure it out when we're just doing clue stuff.
Nah, you know what? I don't think I have anything for this moment. I'm going to let you slide on this.
Okay, so Silas, do you want me to attack the barrier out here?
I don't know. You're in charge. Well, no, this is like your thing.
No, you're the one who figured things out, so he's asking for advice. Because I'm thinking, if we're just going to step inside the circle, it doesn't matter if the barrier is there.
If you want to do that, you will be subjected to the whammy, but otherwise...
Then I'll go ahead. I'll be trying to take the barrier down first. So the D8 barrier, I'm going to attack the D8 barrier.
Let's be clear.
The pillars.
The pillars are resistance.
Yes, resistance.
You want to attack the resistance? Yeah, you can attack the resistance.
That'll give us a better shot at taking down the D12 barrier later on.
Sure.
All right.
And these, you can just brute force attack, right? Like you can just hit this thing with some, you know, like with a sword, with earth magic.
Yep.
To try to break these wards.
I'll have Bo help me out with this. Mm-hmm. And I'll use Emo. Because my jock is down by 1. Do I want to take another D4? I got 3 plot points already. I think I want to see if I can knock this down for now. I'll take a plot point next time.
When you ask me for advice, I put my hand on your shoulder. I'm like, buddy, you're not just a big dumb guy. You can think for yourself. I believe in you.
So I have a 15 I got to beat.
Hang on.
8 and 7.
Oh, there it is. Yep. 8 and 7.
15. I have 5 dice here.
And plot points.
Yep.
Oh, that's a terrible roll.
See, I can do the 10. I can do it, but I have to spend all my plot points.
On the bright side, nothing bad happens.
Nothing bad happens. I just fail.
Yeah. You wail on this thing and like
0 once.
You wail on it with your sword and like a set of runes just come up like as a column, like around, like for a second, they flash all around the circle and then fall back down.
For those at home, 3d8 plus d6 plus d10. My high die was a 4.
But he didn't roll a 1.
I did not roll a 1. I rolled a handful of 2s.
Well, that's not helping.
No.
Gunny, what do you got, Gunny? Bo, Mesame, anybody?
Well, Bo helped me on the last one.
So I know. I'm just asking for ideas from everybody.
3 seconds away from just blasting through that circle with fucking wind at my back and plowing through and carrying him out the other side.
So do it.
Give me a compelling reason why I shouldn't.
Here, I'll even help you out. Since you're going to, like, blast through and snatch him out of it, I will grease the floor with a bunch of ice to help him go faster. D8 asset for you. Actually, I want it to be a D10. I bet it's got to go against the fucking barrier, though, because I'm casting it into the barrier.
You're casting against the pool. I'm rolling against the...
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay, I'm going to roll against the pool.
Do it.
This pool does not like to be messed with. The difficulty for creating a thing is always a 10. The resistance is actually a distinction.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yes, it will pick up the D8.
That is the fair way to
The resistance wards are going to prevent the ice from carrying into the circle.
So I got a D10 for... Messmate is going to help me because Frost Mage. Mm-hmm. Why not? Geek, I will use Veil to make this work. I will use Son of a Flameworth at D8. I will also spend a plot point to get double my Geek die in any pool where I'm using Geek, so I can roll 2d10s then.
Oof.
Nice. Actually, I'm rolling 3d10, so good for me.
16.
It's okay. I got a plot point left to add to this. Didn't even need it. I got a 17.
There you go.
Actually, I'll spend a plot point to add this 5 to it.
Going to, for the D12.
Pop it to a D12 for him.
There you
Teamwork.
Go. All right. Oh. D12 icy floor.
All right.
And it extends into the circle.
Yep.
All right. Like, you have overcome the barrier to the circle.
After me and Messmate together, like, cast this spell, I'm like, oh, cool. Looks like a slip and slide.
D12 icy floor.
I want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Your plan is to just
I have movement.
Skate in.
I have movement.
Grab him and skate out.
Just plow right through.
Okay. There's going to be some rolls here.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it rolls? Isn't it just one?
It is technically a roll. All right. I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe this works.
D12 icy floor.
If it doesn't, shit's going to happen.
D6 impatient.
Yes. Actually, I will also take that D6 impatient. Also, I'm going to take that D8.
Do you get a plot point, bro?
I have two plot points.
Well, that's good.
I'm also taking your easy money is easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're about to find out what, I think you know what this illusion is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 for my emo, 8 for my mage, 8 for my dad. Now, here's the question. Movement. Add one or more mana pool dice when engaging in movement-based tests and contests.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One or more.
Correct. You can add more multiple mana pool dice. You just don't have them for a while till whenever Phil says you get them back.
I have 5 dice here.
Do you have a big mana pool die?
I have 3.
Well, but is one
D8s.
Of them? Well, you just use the one.
Point of order, does he have mana right now because his axe is down?
He can't generate mana is what Phil said.
I can't
said.
Generate okay. it with the axe, but I have a 3d8
so, great.
Mana
so,
pool to begin with.
Got
we,
it.
Correct. We have mana inherently that we regenerate
just
over
wanted
time.
To make sure.
Yeah.
Not all trying, right, not I will use one. Yet. I will use one of those. So I got a 12, a 10, 3 8s, and a 6.
I gotta
do it.
I got a 12, 4 8s, and a 6.
Let's see what happens.
That is a 17. Unless there's a higher one.
Nope. 17.
Okay, 17.
With 2 dice, best I've got is a 14. That's 20 with a 12 effect, if that's important.
No. Your Indiana Jones-like maneuver here of swapping the bag of sand for the idol is basically what you've accomplished. Describe this to me.
I put myself right on the edge of the icy area that they've created for me. I throw my will into the mana pool that I've got. I throw the axe behind me, and I just fire it like a rocket.
There's like a gust of wind behind you. It slams the door shut behind you. It just, like, everybody gets buffeted by the wind for a second, and you go flying into the circle. And when you do, you are inside a casino. There is a full casino in here. Lights and people playing and noise. And your dad is at the craps table, and he looks fine. And he's got, like, a drink to the side and a stack of chips. And he's rolling, you know, he's rolling dice. And he doesn't even see you come back. Barreling
Take
through.
Him right in the ribs, wrap my arm around him.
Yeah.
Just straight through.
Yeah, you just snatch him up from the table. And everybody at the table is like, what? Like you just literally stole a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you go flying through the casino. You're just like, the casino's going past you, slot machines,
card
tables.
People getting knocked over, chips and flying in the air.
Yeah, chips flying. And you come up to, like, the doors to the outside. The doors don't even open. You just go through the other side of the ritual. And you come out on the other side of the circle. you're back in the room with everybody else, holding your dad, who's looking pretty wrecked at this moment. Your dad turns around and he shakes his head for a second, like turns and looks, and he's like, "Gunny?
Hey, Dad.
Gunny, what are you doing here?"
"I just rescued you from the ritual."
He turns and looks back at the circle and he's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, do you have a phone on you? I need to make a phone call."
"Yeah, we need to call."
I need to call
Victor.
"Oh,
we know you've been working undercover trying to break the prosperity cult."
And he turns and looks and he sees you and he's like, "Silas?
Yeah.
Did your dad send you guys?"
"Yes."
"Yeah.
How bad are things if your dad sent you guys?
"Pretty bad."
"Oh, I think I've been out of it for a little while."
"You have."
"What's the date?"
"It's May 21st.
"Shit. Been in that ritual since February.
Your messages got through. Kazafel got to me twice."
"Kazafel?
Kazafel the angel?"
"I don't know. I just kind of lobbed a spell."
"Oh, interesting. It compelled the poor angel to
you
come."
"You did it twice, right?"
"Yeah." "Yeah."
"Okay."
"Yeah, okay. I mean, the ritual was really complicated, but I, at times, was able to divide my attention and play craps to keep it going while working a little ritual on the side of the table. But, like, I couldn't do anything specific. I just kind of Hail Mary'd my axe outward to find you."
"It worked."
"Are we pulling out of here now?"
Here, Mr. Gunderson, I give him the rest of the water that didn't get spilled out from before.
"Yeah, I'm speed dialing Victor."
And
he's still
Victor.
Holding on to you. I will tell you right now, he is currently a D10 stress. He's not in great shape.
Probably has like the traits like malnourished and dehydrated.
Yeah, I mean, like his beard is like long and scraggly. He doesn't smell great.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, how you're...
"We need to leave."
"Yeah, we gotta go."
"Yeah.
Yeah.
Call Vic."
"Yeah, we shouldn't stay here. This whole place is like nothing but prosperity mages."
"Yeah.
Uh-huh."
So, Victor on speed dial, because I figured why not.
You call him.
"Yeah."
"Okay."
"As we're leaving."
"Yes. You will have to exit this place with a disheveled guy. We'll get to that in a moment. You guys are making your way through the basement hallways, heading back for the stairs when your call goes through."
"This is Victor."
"Hey, it's Gunny."
"Oh,
we just rescued my dad."
"Where?"
"Basement of the casino hotel in Niagara Falls. They had him locked in a ritual."
"There are Vale agents nearby. I'm sending them directly to the hotel."
"We'll meet you there."
"Guys did a real number down on the shore."
"Yeah.
But fuck it. I'm sending them to you right now."
Did my dad just say fuck it?
I'm pretty sure he did.
And we've also got Casey.
You took Casey.
I'll toss her over one shoulder.
Okay. Yeah, this is going to be like suspicious as fuck walking out of here.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan?
Drunk.
Yeah, we'll fake that she's drunk.
Aren't we a bunch of teenagers? This is a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea.
Fuck, man. Let's just glamour it. Somebody cast a glamour. Like, yeah. That is the simplest solution to the situation. You're strong enough. You can, like, walk her along.
Yeah, somebody should cast glamour, because so far, T has not succeeded as a single spell today.
Yeah, I'll do it. I mean, I will use the water magic to create a reflective glamour to make us look less messed up. Especially Casey and Jurgen.
Fair.
Yeah, we can do this.
I will do it at D8.
Yeah.
In case we need to make a roll later.
Let's do that roll real quick. Let's do really quick, just whip up that glamour, because you are going to have to actually sell this to get to the door without security stopping you guys.
T leans over to both. They're so cute when they cast magic together.
I know. Look at them. They're adorable.
I am totally abusing the shit out of having Mesabe as part of this party, because I have a relationship that's D10 with her.
Yeah.
I will use control. I'm basically creating illusions around us with water.
The real trick we're going for here is fine mist of water refracts light.
Yes.
So we're just going to do a little light bending here, little micro prisms with some mist.
We should probably avoid getting into a major sword fight in the middle of the hotel.
I am bad at this. So I'm going to turn my distinction for being a son of a Flameworth down to D4, because, you know, fire magic is really my shtick. So I get a plot point that I can't spend.
Oh.
How many dice you got?
I only got five. I got five.
I got.
You want more?
Rolling two.
I don't need more. Let's see what he's got first.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. Just a nine. Come on.
Psh. Yeah, till I don't actually have a plot point I could spend on this, because I got that plot point for this roll.
Yeah, come on, do it.
Luckily, I got a 13. I did roll a one, though.
Yeah, well, those kids, man.
Those kids.
D8.
They're back.
I will use the ref- refracted light to make Casey look like she's invisible, but still, it's T carrying something that nobody can see.
Yeah. T's just, like, walking around, like, with his, like, arm on, like, arm up over his shoulder.
I'll also just blur out Jorgen so that people don't get a really good look at him.
Yeah, exactly, right? He's like, there's a guy.
Yeah, he still smells
there's
bad.
A guy with a beard.
Nothing I can do about that.
Nah. You guys come out the door. All you got to do is get to the front doors. A car pulls up in front of the doors, an SUV, black Vale agents, adult Vale agents in it. And then there's the front desk, security, cameras in the hallways and stuff, and you guys. So this is a D8 difficulty. This is a D8 for those kids because you already made a commotion once before. So they kind of like you pop back up and security's like, oh, it's those kids. And one of you has got to make me a school, I would think performance, right? This is, you need to sell this and you need to nonchalantly walk out this door without attracting attention.
I have created a D8S on the table.
Yeah, that glamour goes into whomever's.
I can spend a pop point to bump my performer up to a D10.
Do it, man. You roll it.
Okay.
You take lead.
All right.
We're all subject to your...
horrible dice rolling.
Whatever.
You can do it.
And I'll have Bo act as a distraction. So she'll be like bouncing around talking like this so that they're watching her because she's very animated.
I buy that.
And I got a D8. Yep.
She's got that energy.
That manic pixie girl energy?
Manic pixie girl energy.
Go for it. And I have to beat a 15.
You gotta stop that, Phil. It's a 6, 7, and an 8 over there, man.
I can beat it. I have a 1. I'm gonna spend an extra plot point to put 3 dice into this. I'll have a 21, which will be an awesome success with a D.
That's your heroic success. I'm gonna not even buy the 1. People are looking, but it doesn't look like anything suspicious. It just looks like a group of people like leaving the hotel, getting ready to head out onto the town. Bo's making noise and kind of, you know. Oh, we're going to have so much fun tonight. We're going to go get drinks and we're going to go do this. And, you know, she's like, I'm selling it so good. And she's like, it's great. We're going to have so much fun tonight. Come on, look, our Uber's already here. And like you got the doors open, slide open. One of the two people that were in the front seat gets out and opens up the door and is like, come this way. We'll get your car later. Everybody in. Get in the back seat.
Just we pile in.
Can we climb in? I give her a big kiss. You did great, hon.
She's like, you did great.
I give her a high five. Good job.
Hey.
You guys all did great.
A little wet. Killing my hair with this mist.
The mist goes away.
You waste no time leaving the parking lot. Your dad is like half in, half out of it.
He reaches into his backpack. He like rummages around for a few seconds. He's like, Timbit? It's a little old, but Timbit.
Takes it and he's like, that's fucking great. Thanks. I don't know when the last time I actually ate food was
way
I've
too
been
long.
Magically sustained.
It's like some lint on it.
Just one Timbit, though.
The one of the agents in the front of the car is like, we're taking you directly to Vale headquarters. Your father wants to see Mr. Gunderson, as well as the rest of you, right away. Also, what did you guys do down by the water?
And that's where we ended the session and moved into Stars and Wishes.
Stars and Wishes!
Let's dive in. Stars and Wishes, everybody. Where we're going to open up wishes-wise is we're going to get to chance for Gunny and his dad to spend some time together. I'm going to give a star to Bob because taking a flat-ass run against yes. the ritual to just yoink your dad out was pretty ingenious.
I actually had that idea as soon as we saw the ritual and you said when we found out that one of the, what was it, the 12 and the 10?
Yeah.
There was a compulsion and a thing to prevent you from coming out.
Yes.
I'm like, maybe I can just brute force right through.
A star to you and a star to Christopher building up a really nice...
Yes, big yes. star for that.
A really nice runway, because had you failed that role, you would have made your way in and gotten lost in the casino. Like, you would have also been wandering around the casino and getting ready to play craps. So, I thought that was actually a pretty ingenious approach.
It was fun to have the conversation with Casey.
Oh, yeah.
Overall, that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was prepared to go... like throw down with Casey, but also like from a realistic perspective, 5-on-1 is a shitty way to get into a duel. Like 5-on-1 trapped in a room with no way like out was not a, it would have been a sign of desperation.
Yeah.
Plus everybody had a different reason for wanting to kick her butt. So
it wasn't good.
No. Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Stars for both couples. You guys are way cute.
I'm enjoying the couples.
That's fun. I like it.
Yeah.
I loved the Mesame Silas icy tension that pops up every once in a while. You know, like, did you just compare me to my mom? Was I'm like, oh, that's not good. He's going to pay for that later.
That's fine.
Well, I love Kaz's reaction when we mentioned Erlis too. Like, oh, okay.
Erlis, not
cool. She's scary.
That's not cool.
She's very cold.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I like the return of Kaz, and I also like the fact that Silas will not let go of the fact that Kaz tried to hit him with an axe.
Tried to split me in half?
Yeah. Yep.
Bro, you came at me.
Hey, like, it's not like he literally intended to split him in half.
I don't know.
He may have tried to hit him.
Sure. Until that misunderstanding was cleared up, you know, Kazafel wasn't really going to take lip from a teenage kid.
You also have to remember that Kazafel was also very angry and very horny and very confused.
Yes.
And those three things together probably didn't make it easy to talk to.
Because, you know, the thing to do when you're angry, horny, and confused is cut a teenager in half.
I mean, you know, it follows trope.
Just in the teenager.
Just throwing that out there. In the middle of a courtyard.
It follows trope. There's a misunderstanding. There's a misunderstanding. Fight first.
Yeah.
Sort out later.
It's an anime thing.
Yeah.
When two superheroes meet, they gotta fight.
Correct.
Fight.
I did ad-lib really quickly that while we were playing that Kazafel's territory was Niagara Falls, and it just occurred to me, like, of course he loves Niagara Falls. Like, in the 20s, like,
sure,
you know, it was the thing. Like, it was, you know, the destination.
In the 60s and 70s, it was like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Kazafel had a nice run, right? Now, like, for people who don't live in Buffalo, like, Niagara Falls is, well, it's not great.
It's the meth capital of Western New York.
As we often tell people, if you want to go see the falls, to go over to the Canadian side, which is quite lovely, actually. It's touristy, but it's pretty lovely.
It is touristy.
Now, the casino is still really cool. The casino itself has a lot of really nice things going on around it. Sure. And the casino is kind of helping to keep Niagara Falls from falling into horrible disarray.
Yeah, well, it generates a huge amount of profit in taxes.
Seneca gives back, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Falls View Casino better.
Oh, Falls View Casino is
nice.
Quite nice.
It's a really nice place.
I've played there a couple times.
The restaurants there are nice. The amenities there are nice. A real casino and hotel.
Yes. Look, it's really, like, crossing over to the falls is really nice. Like,
even the American side, there's a really cool aquarium on the American side.
Yeah, it's okay.
There's a couple other places to go. I mean, Niagara Falls downtown has some really cool stuff.
Does it?
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some nice things.
I'm going to let Jerry be the optimist on this one. It's okay. I've never been wowed by the fall. Like, I've never been wowed by the American side of the falls. I mean, I like to go see the falls. Like, it still looks cool when you're on the American side. It's just from the Canadian side, you can actually see the water. See the water falling over. What else for tonight?
So, stars, I like when we do magic. I like magic. And the magic was, there's a lot of magic tonight. I thought it was really fun.
Tons of magic.
Yeah. I figured tonight was going to be pretty magic heavy.
I also love the trope that, once again, T is horrible at casting magic. He tries a lot. He's just horrible at it.
I think that T just keeps trying.
He doesn't give up.
I thought Bob did a great job with the whole session. I thought the interaction with Casey was interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly what I was expecting, but it makes perfect sense. I mean, she's just going to be a mustache twirling prosperity mage. That's fine. Like, that just shows her point of view, even though she's wrong, for as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the thing with Casey is, one, Casey's down with the cause. She bought lock stock. She bought the whole spiel, right? And for her, she was, you know, so just from, like, you know, from the GM perspective, she was like a pretty low on the totem pole, right? Mm-hmm. She was a worm. She was part of the guild. You know, she was doing the guildy stuff. She thought that recruiting another mage, right? Because this whole thing, of course, because they're prosperity mages.
Dude, you can explain it. I get what you were going for. I was sad to see that she didn't have a path to potential redemption.
If that's a wish,
that would have been the scene for it. I don't have a wish for it anymore. I don't need to see her anymore.
Okay, that's fine.
Her story has played out. She is a zealot, and that's what she is.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her motivation was, right? She brings Gunny into the fold. It raises her up a bit. Because, again, it's a Ponzi, or it's a pyramid scheme.
What you did made perfect sense. I got zero problem with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sometimes I'm worried that I'm not always, I don't always convey motivation.
You did.
Yeah, her motivation.
I understood what she was.
Her motivation is 100% clear.
Yeah, and that she hates rich people essentially because she feels like she got the short end of the stick, and she's also essentially a drug addict.
I mean, yes, that prosperity magic is way tempting. To me, it's one of the pieces I find fascinating about this setting.
It was the piece that I called out during play because you had implied it so heavily, but I wanted to make sure anybody who was listening understood that was a thing that was actually going on. Like, she's not actually 100% in control of her own actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think about if you had the ability to whip up a couple $100 and people just told you, don't do that.
Yeah, I assume that there's like actual in the veil classes that tell people this is why you don't do it. It's addictive and seductive and it'll corrupt you.
Yeah, I guess if I can be slightly off color, but slightly true to my own youth, I got through the 80s and into the 90s by religiously wearing condoms, right? Like for safe sex. The first time I had sex without a condom, I was like, son of a bitch. It occurred to me in that moment, like, had I known this years before, condoms would have been a fucking, like, it would have been a struggle.
Sure.
Right. But never knowing it, it was like, no, I just wear a condom. It's safe because that's what everybody told me to do. So you don't die. And I think that's how the veil approaches prosperity magic with teenagers. If you want to get strung out and in trouble and thrown in jail, do prosperity magic, right? But if you never do it,
look, man,
you'll be okay.
I'm with you. Like, everybody's like, you shouldn't do drugs because all these bad things happen to you. Correct. Still, people do drugs.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't mean like marijuana. I'm talking like methamphetamines or cocaine.
Oxy.
But man, it feels so good. But
man, that prosperity magic, like, I think of it, like, I grew up really poor. I think, like, if I had access, I would never fucking not use it.
Yeah, sure. Right.
I would, like, abuse it, maybe not, but use it, fuck yes.
That's the difference, because most of the prosperity majors in the cult are all about the flashy, I'm going to buy the big fancy car, and I'm going to get the big house. And it's like, I just want my mom not to have to work so hard.
Sure, but that's how it starts, right? You
Correct.
Think it's the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Exactly.
Plus, it's not just easy. It's not just like easy or like I can help people. It's also, we've established that it affects you. Like, there's an addiction that comes along with it that is not just, I want to make my life easier. There's like some sort of magical compulsion to go with it too.
Well, I mean, if you could just have, I mean, because our society operates on money, and if you had access to free money, you can literally have anything you want.
Yep.
Like literally anything. You want to go on vacation? Cast a spell.
Sure.
You want a new car? Cast a spell, right? So eventually
it's like rich people going to the ATM. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, so, and that's what Victor was saying, right? Like, they normally pick up these guys because they flare out. Right. They get stupid and they go and buy like a sports car, and then the veil shows up and is like,
You're done.
Right. And they suck because they become inherently selfish. So they're easy to pick off. And that's what the problem is with the dragon and the worm cult.
Because they're organized.
Yeah, they're organized. It's the worst part.
It's what happens when you put a Ponzi scheme in a magic society.
Correct.
Yep.
Exactly.
You've made it very clear.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody listening has realized how clear it is, but it's very clear to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, I mean, to me, it was an interesting avenue to explore, was to look at this idea of like, what if magic overrode the key component to society?
I will tell you, the scene with Casey for me, that is the star for me about it, is that it shows the potential inevitable end for what could happen to Gunny. Because Gunny has still got that trait.
It's a D8. It's not even
small anymore.
No.
And if it gets up over a D12, it could technically take him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, Gunny's lose control of your character.
Gunny's got to work on that.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of time before the inevitable conclusion of our campaign, but in the aftermath, Gunny has to go to detox.
Yeah.
There's a thing.
Well, the stars are good. You did a great job, Phil. This is a good story.
I'm just throwing shit out there.
I got a star for like, we were starting to try to figure out how to like break into the casino. I'm like, no, let's just do a thing. Like, let's stop and just do a thing. Yeah. I'm done with this.
Do it.
Thank you. Because you know, I dislike planning, which is hysterical because my day job is nothing but planning, but I hate planning in RPGs.
Yeah. So what does it matter? Like, anything we come up with, we're going to have to roll dice. So we might as well just pick a thing that
might
we want
to
do
to the dice.
And do it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the entire Ocean's 11, swipe the key card.
I thought, yes.
Spill the water. That whole thing was a lot of fun.
That's fun.
I did think that
was
good.
Plus referencing Ocean's 11 as we're doing. Yes. Did you just do a Danny Ocean?
Terry Benedict.
Yep.
It was good.
Yeah, I hoped you guys would like the customized crisis pool. I love that mechanic.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oh,
yeah.
People couldn't see it, but as soon as he pulled it out, I was in the corner like doing happy clapping. So I love saw that it. Thing. Right, yeah. I was very, very happy with that.
Yeah. That's a mod that we should share back to the Cortex community, because I'm particularly fond of that mod. Give me some wishes. We're really close to the end here. We may be like one session away from the end, because there just isn't too much more story left on the table.
I always think it's interesting when T, and he does it a lot, like looks to Silas for advice or whatever. When Silas is like, I don't know, just do your thing, because I am now like not interested in being in charge, because I got other shit going on.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah.
T looks to Silas for advice, because T looks at like, okay, you've got the information. I see three things on the table here. I'm going to act on one of them.
I know. And I'm like, just do what you think is best.
I tried this. It didn't work. I tried this. We'll try this.
Eventually you'll get there.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why I was like, Gunny's like, fuck it. I'm just going right in.
Yeah. I love that.
So that is in some ways. And once he decided that, then I could support him.
Yep. Yeah.
I love that. We are definitely still impulsive teens, which is a lot of fun. We just run head first.
Oh, yeah. We don't know what we're doing.
No.
I have a wish, but I don't think it's a viable wish.
Sure. What is it? But throw it past me.
Toss it out there.
I would like to figure out a way for Gunny to get his family back.
Oh, I don't think that's
I thought that was part of the end game.
Oh, he's supposed to be dead. So how is his mom?
Dead. Yeah, dad's supposed to be dead. He died in a car crash. My mom has mourned him for 5 years.
There are two ways to deal with
you
that.
You just implant some memories.
It's magic.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly.
Not like he died.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the problem.
It's a fucking terrible idea. No. Not implant
you
memories.
You can't just
release memories.
Okay.
She's also mundane, which means she can't know about the magic.
Except.
Unless she's not mundane and she's actually magical and she just doesn't know.
But they have also dealt with the past where semi-magics, people like me who don't have talents at all but are still obviously magical, still have to deal with that. So the Veil has contingencies in place for those emergency cases. There are ways to do it.
Because they do it
in the past.
That is the wish.
No, man, if she's a human and she doesn't have magic, we've already established they just wipe you.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground for that.
Yeah. Correct.
They were going to wipe me.
Yeah.
So that makes no sense from a story point of view.
To be clear, the candle ritual, your husband needs to go under deep cover for a while. What you're going to remember is the following.
Yeah, there's that too.
That would assume that she was magical and knew.
Not necessarily.
No. You have to be magical to be affected by that ritual.
Yeah, they skew those memories to make it.
To be affected by the ritual, no. But the wording that you just used.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He said undercover. He didn't say magically undercover. He could have been a member of the CIA or the FBI or something. CI. He's a con man.
Yeah.
It's easy enough. Yeah. We just invented five different ways to solve it.
Your wish is entirely possible.
Okay.
Yes.
That wish is 100% possible.
You can pick the version that you want
of
the five that we just picked, that we just created in like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a totally viable wish. I see like really one more chunk of this story.
Maybe we gotta stop the ritual.
That is my other wish. I want to get in there and stop that ritual.
You hardly have to wish for that.
Yeah,
part.
That's barely a wish.
Feels definitely.
If we don't do that, then what are we doing here?
Yeah. I have the location. I have a location in mind. I did a little research. I'm pretty happy with what I came up with for the location. It'll be good. I think. I hope. Right. I don't know. I just say this shit.
I'm curious if down the road when people listen to this, if they will hear my voice break.
Yeah, they will, because I heard it.
Because it happened twice.
Anything else?
No, that's all.
Cool. All right. We'll be back for what might be the conclusion.
The conclusion of Prospocalypse Now.
And then we probably have to have a little epilogue thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll do that.
Okay. Awesome.
And then that one episode of potentially live Misdirected Mark, and then we're done.
Mm-hmm.
End of an era, man.
Yeah. 549 just came out.
Jeez.
So.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been doing this for a little while.
A little while. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Misdirected Mark Plays. Now let's do some Patreon shoutouts before we get out of here. Let's start with the Royal Court. First off is Tiffany Reynolds, the untitled Tiffany Reynolds, the Polish Ogre, our very own Polish Ogre, Lars Henrik Evjan, the Lord Out of Time, Jim Likes Games, the Royal Merchant Emeritus, Chromatic Chameleon, the Queen's Spy Mistress, J.T. Evans, the Queen's Librarian, Schmitty, the Keeper of the Labyrinth, Andrew Dacey, the Warden of Whiskies, that's a good one, John Carney, the Court Necromancer, bringing back those dead people, Tiberius Starcrash Smith, the Baron of Britannia, maybe he's friends with the Green Knight, Then there's Eric Bontz, the Weregator, and Kevin Lovecraft, the Royal Beard. Now there's some other patrons that I want to mention right here. The Deliverator belongs to an elite order, a hallowed subcategory. Bridget, Athelus, Not That Billy Mitchell, Fiona, Kathleen Halperin, Christopher Gamelk, Michael Esperum, Joseph Null, Carlos, Hep Dilemma, Michael Draper, Cubano, Alice Kira, Jim Fitzpatrick, Brantley Harris, Steve Radabaugh, Richard Wyatt, Joseph Peralta, Brian Kurtz, Jared Rasher, Eileen Barnes, Brandon Barnes, Lee S., Tentacle Duck, Aaron Lakowski, Brendan Dennis, Padme's Lover, Ninjabi, Andy Olson, David Walker, and Victor Wyatt. Thank you so much for being our patrons. If you'd like more content like this, check out polygamero.us. We are the Polygamerist Podcast Network, where we help you play your best games. If you are interested in supporting this show and other shows on the Polygamerist Podcast Network, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/MMP. If that's not your thing, we'd still love your support by listening. We have Pandas Talking Games with Phil and Senna. It is car talk for your game. Ask them questions and they will answer them. There's the Gnomecast, gnomes giving their best GMing advice to help you play your best games, and they're also trying to avoid being thrown in the stew pot. Don't worry, if they die, we have clones of those who've passed away. Lastly, there's Thaka with Advantage with Ange and Jared. They talk about D&D topics while covering the history of the game and how it's evolved through the years. With that, Misdirected Mark Plays is a Polygamerist Podcast production, where we help you play your best games. Mic drop. We out.